Well, we continue now through the book of 1 Samuel, and we come to 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 24, the escapades of Saul, Israel's first king, and his mistakes, his rebellion against God, and what it would cost him, what it has cost him already. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And the men of Israel were distressed that day. No, they were fighting a battle. And here's why they were distressed. For Saul had solemnly charged the people, saying, "Cursed be the man who eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies." So none of the people tasted any food. And we see from this that Saul's command had absolutely nothing to do with God, with God's word, with God's will. And that is why it made the people of God miserable, beyond the physical part of it. I'm talking principle here. You see, the problem with man-made rules is that they often contradict the Word of God. And this one does. God says the laborer is worthy of his pay. At the very least, he deserves food. Forbidding soldiers to eat is mean, it is uncalled for, it is unbiblical. 25. And all they of the land came to a forest, and there was honey upon the ground. And I'm going to give these men credit for willpower. They were very hungry. They had honey to eat, but they didn't eat it. I suppose it's easy to fast when all you have in the house is liver. But it's much harder if you have honey. The true test of obedience comes when you're asked to give up something that you really enjoy. So they're hanging in there. Verse 26. And when the people were come into the forest, behold, the honey dropped. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. It was smart not to even touch the honey, because touching would probably lead to tasting. You know, the best way to avoid sin is to escape the temptation before it hits with all of its fury. 27. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in an honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes brightened. He felt better after he ate. You know why? This will shock you. Because food is one of the things that God calls a need. He doesn't call many things need. Needs include food and covering. That's about it. And of course, the spiritual need, the greatest need of all, is fellowship with Him. But if God calls something a need, then we need it. And we're not going to operate very well or very long without it. 28. Then answered one of the people and said, "Thy father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, Cursed be the man who eateth any food this day." And the people were faint. Saul's command backfired because it's God's will for people to eat, especially those who work hard like soldiers. You can't make a rule that goes against God's word and expect it to work. And just like we can't live a life contrary to God's word and expect to be successful for the Lord. 29. Then said Jonathan, My father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have become bright, because I tasted a little of this honey. One unbiblical rule caused trouble for many people. And that's why parents and leaders in general make a big mistake if they are not prayed up and led by God and His Word, because one unbiblical rule can do an awful lot of damage. The evil spreads. Verse 30, How much better if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines, their effectiveness for God was not what it could have been, because their bodies were not cared for like they should have been. God expects us to manage our bodies the best that we can. They are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and they do have an effect on our soul if we don't take care of them. 31. And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil and took sheep and oxen and calves and slew them on the ground. And the people did eat them with the blood. They ate the blood along with the meat, which was sin. That was sin. They committed the sin, but Saul, with his stupid rule, set them up for the fall. It is just as wrong to set someone up for sin as it is to sin. Jesus said, Offenses must come, but woe to them by who they come. 33. Then they told Saul, saying, Behold, the people sin against the Lord, in that they eat with the blood. And he said, Ye have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day. Yeah, Saul, they transgressed. You got that right. They are very wrong to eat that blood. But what about you? That's what I'd like to ask him. What about you? You set them up. Saul lived in rebellion against God, and in the process was a setup man for the sin of others. And then he walked away looking like Mr. Innocent. 34, and Saul said, Disperse yourselves among the people, and say unto them, Bring me here every man his ox, and every man his sheep, and slay them here, and eat, and sin not against the Lord, and eating with the blood. And all the people brought every man his ox with him that night, and slew them there. Once the king did the correct thing, the people fell in line and did theirs. So notice how important it is for leaders to be on top of things and for them to give the correct guidance. Leaders steer the boat. That's why it's right and it's important for them to do what is correct by example. 35. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. The Bible warns about following people who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Boy, that's Saul in a nutshell. People like that, like Saul, act like they want to serve God, but they never really do. Their words never translate into action. Holiness is missing from their life. 36. And Saul said, Let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them. And they said, Do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Then said the priest, Let us draw near here unto God. You know, it's not easy to say, but what about God? When you're in the midst of people who don't consider God. But that is what this priest did. And I admire him for that. Hey, let's not leave God out of the equation here. He said, let's draw close to God. Let's ask God about this thing that we're about to do. And look at verse 37. And Saul asked counsel of God. He never would have if the priest had not brought it up. But he asked counsel of God, shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel? But he answered him not that day. God was silent. And when God is silent, it's good to examine our conscience and confess any known sin. Someone did something wrong because God isn't talking here. And that's not normal. 38, and Saul said, draw ye near here, all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein this sin hath been this day. They need God. And he's not talking, and that's not normal. Consequently, they're going to try to discover what the sin is and who did it. 39, for as the Lord liveth, who saveth Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. But there was not a man among all the people that answered him. Saul is playing big holy man here. Look at him, big holy man, as the Lord liveth. But it's not going to work. Let me tell you something. Insincere, shallow, surface-level religious words are no substitute for a slow, steady walk with God. And anyone who really loves God picks up on that kind of phoniness. And that's why no one answered Saul. 40. Then said he unto all Israel, be ye on one side, and I and Jonathan, my son, will be on the other side. And the people said unto Saul, do what seemeth good unto thee. And I suppose Saul separated himself and his son from the rest because he believed that he and Jonathan were innocent. So when the lots were cast, they would immediately be eliminated from any guilt, he thought. Verse 41. Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, give a perfect lot. And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. Now, in those days, as you probably know, Israel would cast lots to discover the will of God. It was sort of like flipping a coin. Don't do it today. We have the Holy Spirit today as Christians to lead us. But this was in Old Testament times. And God had ordained this method. Well, God spoke. The guilty person is either Saul or his son Jonathan, and the rest of the Israelites are off the hook. 42. And Saul said, cast lots between me and Jonathan, my son, and Jonathan was taken. So out of the entire population of Israel, God quickly whittled it down to the guilty one, who was Jonathan. Sometimes the guilty get off free in this life, but they never get off free in eternity because God knows who the guilty are, and they are going to be judged in his court. 43, then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, I must die. Jonathan admitted breaking the rule. But I guess it depends how you read this verse. I don't think he thought for a moment that it was fair that he had to die for what he did. And it wasn't fair. And yet it was the law. So he will submit to the consequences. 44, and Saul answered, God do so and more also. For thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. Ungodly Saul picks the worst possible time to be true to his word. Ungodly people are true to their word when it serves them. never mind that it might be hurtful to others. They aren't true to their word they are true to their word if it gets them something. Maybe like here, makes him look like a big shot, like a spiritual giant, and he's willing to sacrifice the life of his son rather than admit that his rule was foolish and unbiblical. Prideful guy. Oh, he looks so humble, didn't he? At first, he was filled with pride. 46, then Saul went up from following the Philistines. Actually, 45. And the people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. The people have been submitting to Saul up until now. But Saul loses their loyalty when he wants to execute innocent and righteous Jonathan. And they were right. You know, when one in authority commands what is evil, God's people should rebel. And then 46, and Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. So while the Israelites were taking care of internal business, the enemy got away. If the devil can keep you occupied trying to fix the cracks in your life, he never has to worry about you doing anything good for God.